change my back.
Okay. I'm going to go through, and y'all, I'm just going to record it and cut it off the beginning of this so I don't have to write it in my grade book. Let's see, show me your planner. Hey, you got a calendar? You got a list? You're going to put a list in there? Is that for this year? Do you have January of this year?
It's 2007.
Okay, good. Okay, Kendall, you have yours? Good. You got your notes, Tristan? You need your notes from yesterday? Okay, good, Caitlin. Very good. Hurry. Okay, good, Lindsay. And Brianna, and you're going to start having things written in there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty. I like that. Okay, Christopher, you got something to show me? Okay, good. And Betsy, you have yours? Very nice. And Christy, very good. And you'll start having to write things in there. Justin, you got yours? Justin H. has his, yes.
Good.
You got your planner? Yeah, you need your notes, but you got your planner or your...
I love my notes in English.
In English? Do you need to go get them?
No, I left them here.
Well, but I might have one more copy, but you're going to have to bring them.
I got a cool ass real fast.
Oh, great. Cool. Wonderful. Okay, y'all, let's review what we talked about yesterday, because somewhere yesterday my battery ran out and we missed the last end of class. Oh, and I didn't get to record the other one. So let's review the last 2 days. What are some of the things? I gotta wash my hands here. What are some of the things that we've talked about? And y'all try to speak up so this will be on here, because we've got write things down. Now, why do we write things down?
So we don't forget it, because you can't remember everything.
So we don't forget. Because are you good enough to not forget stuff when life gets busy? Are you the exception? No. There's a natural law that we can only remember so much, as we proved with our little number experiment the first day, right? So the natural law is you can believe all you want to that you're going to get by without writing stuff down. But just like gravity that we did on the first day, what's going to happen if you don't write stuff down and your life gets busy? It's a natural law. What's going to happen to you? You're going to forget. That is a fact. Whether you agree with it or not is not important. That's the truth. Okay? What was the first natural law that we talked about? What was the first one? If you don't control, and it's not just about feelings, it's about everything. If you don't control the events in your life, the events in your life will control you. And what's an example or two? An example of things that if you don't control
grades.
Them, if you don't control your grades, then who's going to step in and bug you?
Parents.
Your parents. Okay? If you have bad habits, what's going to happen if you don't get control of your bad habits?
They will take you over.
They will take you over, and he's not even in the class. Okay? They will take you over, and they will take control of you. Okay? Now, we were talking about the control continuum. And there are things over which you have no control and things over which you have control. And we were listing some of the things that we have no control over. And what are some of those things that you have absolutely no control over? The weather. What else? What else? What do you have no control over, huh?
Traffic.
You have no control over traffic. Do you have control over grades? Okay. I would say that, you know, grades would be over here a little bit, maybe, where you have a lot of control over your grades, and then the teacher has some. Because if you're an ethical teacher, I may like you all day long, but your grade is not a grade on whether Miss Vicky likes you or not. I love every single one of you in my classroom. Your grade is a function of what you turn into me, because I have to be fair. You know, a good ref is fair, right? We all hate to have biased refs, right? Because we feel like it's unjust. And even if a teacher likes you, I always respected when a teacher gave me the grade I deserved. I did not want a grade based on whether they liked me or not. And some of you really likable people may not like that. But and sometimes I've had people say, but don't you like me? You're giving me an F. Don't you like me? And it's like, no, it's not a function of whether I like you or not. I actually love you. But because I love you, I'm going to hold you accountable. So you got to turn in something for that teacher to be able to give you a good grade on. You got to give them something to work with. If you give them nothing, that's why I always say, if you turn in something half done, that's better than turning in nothing. Because if you turn in half done, maybe I can give you a 70. But a 0 is going to kill you. And the reason most people make C's around here is they just flat don't turn it in. And if you flat don't turn it in and that teacher doesn't drop any grades, and I drop one or two, but not a lot. And there's some teachers that don't drop anything, right? And in college, don't expect them to drop anything. If you don't turn it in, it's not going to happen. So half the battle is just doing it. So you probably have, you have part of it where you don't have any control because, you know, Betsy, you might walk in and that teacher might hate your guts. And you don't have any control over that. And then you have the part you do have control over. What is the one thing you have 100% control over? 100% control over this one thing. Yourself. And that is it. Now, a lot of people disagree with me on that. Well, when so-and-so was mean to me, I couldn't help myself. It made me mad, and they made me lose my temper. Now, let's look at that. Can somebody make you lose your temper? Yes or no? No. Why do I say no? What? The buck stops here. You are responsible for your own actions. It is your responsibility. And I've talked about before how it was very freeing for me in ninth grade, because at some point I decided. There was a girl in my class who used to always make fun of the clothes that I wore. It didn't matter what I wore, she was going to make fun of it. When I walked in homeroom, y'all have seen it before, right? You walk into homeroom and somebody's going, you know, when you walk in about something different you have on or when you wear a new outfit. And I decided that I could decide, she's going to be ugly, she's going to be mean, that's her problem, it's not mine. You choose whether to let somebody else's bad attitude become your attitude. That's your choice. You have a choice. You don't have to respond in an angry way. And that is so important, especially for athletes, because I've seen so many games over the last couple weeks be lost because of one thing. What? Unsportsmanlike conduct. Personal fouls. And yeah, I know they hit you first, but you know what? You don't have to hit them back. There was a really, I'm trying to remember his name, Jeremiah McClary was one of the captains of the Georgia Tech football team the year we won the national championship in 1991, and he was a friend of mine. He was a big old linebacker, and he was just a nice, great person, but he was good. He was not one of the best, but he was good, and he was a leader, and this is why he was a leader. Because when people would go after him, and they did, I mean, does it get ugly? Guys who play defense, who plays defense in here? Okay, does it get ugly on the defensive line? It does. It's not pretty at all. It gets ugly, right? And you have all kinds of, you're trying to make them mad, they're trying to make you mad, and I'm going to go through you, we're going to blitz, and, you know, we blitzed a lot that year. I'm going to go through you. And so, but Jeremiah, I don't know that he ever, I'll have to look up the stats, I don't think he ever got a personal foul, ever. And he started for like 2 years. Because he was the kind of person, he had complete control over himself. He knew he was good. He didn't have anything to prove. And he had control over himself. I'll give you another example. What's the name? What, Michael Vick. Okay, he was getting booed in Atlanta. Did he have to shoot the fans a bird? I think he should have been fired on the spot. Because you know what? The fans, Atlanta Falcon fans, pay his paycheck. How much does he make, Dustin, you know? $16 million. And you can't be grown up enough to control yourself and not shoot a bird to the fans who are supposed to be your fans? You can have a bad day, but you know what? Just because they're booing you, don't they may not be booing you. They may be booing something else. Have control of yourself, because he has significantly hurt his career, and he makes that they made all kinds of trades of good players, right, to get him on the team, didn't they? It makes the owner look stupid, doesn't it? It really does. You know, and now the owner looks really stupid with what's happened with the coach, you know. Yeah. So, but did he have a choice? He is an excellent football player, right? Excellent. But what did he do to himself?
He lowered himself
because he didn't have control of... Okay. He didn't have control of what?
Himself.
Y'all, we could probably all name a million examples of people who chose to not have control over themselves. Right? Can y'all think of anything in the news or anything where people didn't have control over themselves? A lot of people who don't have control over themselves. They're in the news all the time. Well, my secretary was there and she was so cute and I couldn't help myself. It's the boss, you know. I couldn't help myself. You know, is there anything where you can't help yourself? Now, I will tell you this. Sometimes you go so far down a path, it's very hard to get off of the path. It's a lot easier to make a correction at the beginning of getting off the path than at the end. And I'll give you an example. Those of you who choose to not do well in school, and you choose, with the intelligence level in this class, if you make a C, you chose to make a C. Because every single one of you in this class is smart enough to make an A at this school. Every single one of you. But you choose, the people who are successful choose to do things that the people who are not choose not to do. It's a choice that you make. You have a choice to make. And it's easier to change your path now than when you're a senior and you've gone down this path a long way and you have a 2 or 1.5 GPA. And your parents tell you have to have to get the Hope Scholarship, which I think requires a 2.5 now. I could round right around an 85 average. Are you going to be able to go make all hundreds to be able to pull up that GPA? No, you're not. So, yes, you can get to the point where you can't turn it around. But, y'all, that's why we do the planning and the time management and the goal setting in ninth grade, because you've still got plenty of times. You've got one semester under your belt and you're going to get your grades Monday and you will see where you are. You've got plenty of time to turn it around, because if you've got below an 85 average on your grades, you need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I prepared to not get the Hope Scholarship? Because if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm not going to get the Hope Scholarship. I'm not. And how are my parents going to feel about it? And are my parents going to afford to be able to send me to college? You got to ask yourself and look yourself in the mirror and grow up and say, this is my life. Do you think your life would be better if you could make $100,000 a year than $20,000 a year? You think your life would be better? No? Yeah. Money's not everything, but yeah. The average difference between somebody who graduates from a four-year college and somebody who does not over your lifetime is $1 million. Average difference over your lifetime. You will make $1 million more if you graduate from a four-year college. Now, are there exceptions to that rule? Yes. There are always exceptions to every single average. That is an average. That is a study they did. That is the average. Some people graduate from high school and do extremely well. But you want to put the odds in your favor, and the odds in your favor are to go to college. And you've got to decide to do that now. Every single one of you at this point could go to a Tier 1 college. And if you're afraid you won't have enough money to go to a Georgia, then you better be working on getting an academic scholarship by having good grades. You know. And as I told you yesterday, there's nothing greater. It is not cool. It is not attractive to play dumb. That is not attractive. And then there's the other people that want to get by without making an effort, and they do like some of the people in my class did to me. Vicki, give me your homework. Give me your homework. If you want to go to my party, you're going to give me your homework. I need to copy your homework. In every class, they're the copiers. They're the people who want to copy everybody's homework. You know what? That doesn't test anything but penmanship, and you don't learn dip. If you're doing a math problem and you can't get the answer and somebody helps you with a math problem, that is totally different than copying. Do you learn anything, honestly, from copying a math problem? Be honest. Everybody in this room, myself included, has copied a math problem from somebody else, right? Yes. Say yes, because I know it's true. Oh, Josh, you've never done that. You're perfect. Well, I'm not perfect. And I know that I had to not do that because I learned very quickly that if you copy, you do not learn it. Because you're just on autopilot and you don't learn it. And that's a choice you have to make. But do you have who do you have control over? It's the point of this. Who do you have control over? Yourself. You have a pet. You're the boss of that pet. Do you have control over that pet? No, you don't have control over that pet. Do you have control over Betsy comes in and she's in a bad mood today and she just lights into everybody in this classroom? Do you have control over whether you're going to let that put you in a bad mood? Yes, you do. Somebody doesn't invite you to their party and they leave you out. Do you have a choice of whether that's going to send you into a tailspin and ruin your weekend, or to decide not to let it bother you, or not to get depressed? Do you have a choice? Is it a tough choice though, Lindsay? Yeah, it could be really hard, but y'all, ultimately, you got to know that whether I'm happy or whether I am sad, it is my choice. And the way I feel about life is too short. Life is too short to have a bad day. Every single day, and this is truly, honestly, the philosophy of my life that I got from crying for 4 straight years every single day because my friends were ugly. Well, they weren't my friends. The people in my class were ugly to me. There was a guy in sixth grade that had a party, a skiing party, of all things. Invited everybody in the class but me and told the others that if they really were going to insist on me coming to the party, that they just wouldn't be invited to. And I was the only one not invited to that skiing party in sixth grade. And that is when I lost all of my friends because they would rather go to the party and not be picked on than be my friend. And I literally went through at least a year with none. Nobody I could hang around with or pal around with. And I had been up to through like about fifth grade. I was at all the spend the night parties and having all the fun and everything was great. And overnight, boom, gone. Not invited to anything. You think that was hard? Has anybody ever been left out? Yes. Does it feel good? Is it something you like? No. But you got to realize something. Camilla is a small place and this is a small school. There are plenty of people that you will be able to have friends with and be friends with when you leave here. And when I went to college, I was in shock. I had so many friends, and in some ways, I guess you could say I was popular because I would never call myself popular, but I had tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of friends, and I knew everybody, and it was great. And I had so much fun, and so many people liked me, and I just remember calling home and saying, "Mama, I don't believe it, but they don't make fun of me when I use big words anymore. And they like to talk about things. I've never been one of these women who likes to talk about fashion and little small talk mess, my fingernails or the color nail polish or the color lipstick. I hate that kind of stuff. And once I got over my crying period of being upset, I mean, I might cry once a year. I'm not real emotional. I like action movies. I like, I guess, more guy stuff, which is why I fit in at Georgia Tech. I don't like all the girly stuff. And I had tons of friends that were like me, and it was like, but I had to trust my mom and make it through that time. And the thing that I learned, I always told God I was never going to thank myself for middle school, ever. That I would never thank Him for what I went through because it was inhuman what those people did to me, in my opinion. And if they think back, they don't remember that anybody was ever unkind to me. I had somebody the other day say, "I don't remember anybody ever being mean to you." Well, you know what? You remember what you went through. You don't remember what somebody else went through. And it was tough for me. But about 2 years ago, when I started teaching here and we started going through this, I do thank God, because it's so impressed in my memory. I know what it's like to be left out, and I know what it's like to be insecure, and I know what it's like to be tough. And if y'all could just cut short that period of caring too much about what others think, then something can come of that agony that I went through, because it was agony. It was like, go through my day, put the happy face on, nobody know anything's wrong with me, go home, go to my room, close the door, get in the bed, pull the covers over my head, put my face in the pillow so my parents won't hear me crying, and cry your eyes out. And that's tough. And most of y'all, whether you admit it or not, have been through that. And when I got over that was when I finally said, I didn't get any more friends in high school. But I was friends with everybody. I was nice to everybody. But I learned that I have control over my day. I love myself, and God made me for a purpose. And you know what? If Tristan doesn't like what I have on, good for Tristan. He knows what he likes and what he doesn't like. So what? Who cares? I like Tristan as a person, but I don't have to have him like me to be happy in my life. There are billions of people on this planet, and if one doesn't like me, so what? On my blog now, y'all, there are people who don't like me. They don't like what I stand for, and they send me emails. You know, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're blah, 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 blah. So what? There are tons of people in this world. Nobody's making them read my blog, and nobody's making somebody look at you. So I want y'all to understand that you have a choice of how to respond to other people. It is your choice to have a bad day. When you're having a bad day, it's your choice. Are there people that you know that always look like they're having a bad day and they're always sad? Do we have tough things in our lives sometimes that make it hard to have a good day? Y'all, when my father-in-law was dying that period of time, back in November and October, it made it very hard to have a good day. But you know what? Life is so short. I would be upset about it. But I would say, you know, I'm going to have a good day today. Because when it's said and done, at the end of time, am I going to care if Brianna liked what I wore? When I'm getting ready to die, am I going to care what Brianna said about my fashion? I'm going to care if I lived a happy life, if I had fun with my family, if I was happy, right? And at peace with myself. And during that period of time, I also became best friends with the Lord, and I found out that He was real. And during that time, I said, Lord, if you could just let me be first in my class, I would really appreciate it, because at the time I wasn't. And Lord, if you could let me do beauty pageants so that people didn't make fun of me for being ugly anymore, I would really appreciate it. Because I was overweight and had braces and glasses, and I didn't know how to dress, and I was frumpy. I mean, all the things. I mean, when people look at my picture in the old annuals, and you can go look and you'll go, I can't believe that's Miss Vicky. But people do every year. And I asked the Lord for those things, and I even singing, y'all. You know, I sing now. Some of y'all have heard me sing. And when I was in sixth grade, the minister of music put me on the back row and told me not to sing, that I was messing up the whole choir. He said, just move your lips. You are messing up, because we competed in choir competitions. And you know how you have somebody who sings out who has a deaf ear, right, in choir sometimes? I wish they would just shut up. Well, he told me to shut up. He said, you can be in the choir, but you can't let anything come out of your mouth. And I wanted voice lessons. He wouldn't give me voice lessons, because only the cute girls got to take voice lessons back then. You had to be cute, and I was not cute, so I didn't get voice lessons. But when I went off to college, the Lord let me have a voice. And I started singing solos, and I don't even know where it came from. I don't even know how I learned how to sing. And now I get to sing in church every month. I sing in church. And a lot of times more than that I get to sing. And people are like, I can't believe how well you sing. Why didn't you sing as a high school student? Well, I didn't. But this is your life. And it's your decision how you're going to live it. And if you have a desire of something you really, really want to do, ask the Lord for it and believe that it can be done. And choose not to let people ruin your day, right? Y'all, there are vicious people. There are people who just like to be mean. And I know one girl in my class who just liked to be mean has gone on and has done that in her life. until she's finally learned to be kind. And I think she's on her sixth or seventh husband now. She's my age. Okay? And she was mean. She was just a mean person. They're just mean people. Everybody has mean people in their class. And if you're one of the mean people, you better decide not to be. Usually the people that are mean are trying to do it to be popular, because if they're criticizing other people, people won't criticize them. And that's your choice if you do it, but that's a bad choice. So, natural law number two is this. Understand your reasons. If you know why you do what you do, it becomes easier to control. What does that mean? What does that mean?
It means know why you did.
Yes. It's part of being able to back up and look at yourself. Like me and eating, the example I used yesterday. What did I finally figure out about why I was, when I overeat, why was I overeating? Because I was upset. Yes. And now that I've learned that when I'm upset, I eat, I put things instead of that. I have to make sure that I exercise. My husband gave me an exercise bike with a TV on it, which I love. When I pedal, the TV goes on, and I never get to watch TV what I want to watch because my kids are always playing the Xbox or watching SpongeBob or whatever. So I have that, and that's how I deal with stress. So instead of running to the refrigerator, I'm running to my bike. I'm like, I had a bad day. I got to work out. And that's what I'm trying to do instead. I'm trying to replace the habit. So when I know that I had a bad day, I'm telling myself, okay, I had a bad day. I have two choices. The unhealthy one, which is to go eat half a chocolate cake, or the healthy one, which is to get on a bike and bike. Okay? So the first step to changing yourself, procrastination. Why do we procrastinate? Why do we procrastinate?
Because you don't
want to
do it.
And a lot of people procrastinate because they don't know where to start. And you know the first trick? I've read books and books on procrastination. You know the first trick for overcoming procrastination? And y'all, this works. I promise. It works. What is the first thing you should do to overcome procrastination? It's not start it. Sit down and imagine where you will start and think about it. Because if you have started in your mind does not know the difference between starting in your mind and starting real. And if you will start it in your mind, if you plan something, it takes less time to do it than if you just sit down and start doing it. So the first step to overcoming procrastination is to imagine that you're doing it. Does that make sense? Because if you can start it in your mind, you can start it. Okay, so remember, I want you to have this formula here. Responsible equals response plus able. And you're going to have to be able to define this. What this means. Actually, let's reverse. Well, no, let's leave it. This means, you might want to write this in your notes so you'll have it for the test. This means, no matter what it is, if I'm responsible, I am able to control my response. You can use that to take notes. We'll just use it to take notes. Okay, I am able to control my response. Okay, explain that to me. Who can tell me? What does that mean?
Like, whatever happens, you're like, if somebody comes up and says something to you, you're able to not say something mean back or something.
Yes. Okay? And that's what it means to be responsible. Was Michael Vick responsible? I know he's an adult, but was he responsible, Dustin, when he shot a bird at the fans? Was he being responsible? He was being irresponsible. And then his answer, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were booing me. Right? Yeah. You are responsible for your own actions. Take responsibility. I know that boy that I gave you the example of yesterday that killed the girl because he got the loader. What do you think his response was to what happened? Do you think he accepted responsibility? But my friends told me to get the grader. But my friends told me to go bogging. But my friends told me, does that hold up in a court of law that your friends told you to do something? No. Y'all, we know people that, we know of tragedies in our own community. I'm not going to talk about it, but we know about tragedies in our own community where people did what their friends told them to do and it resulted in people getting killed, right? Because they did what their friends told them to do, they didn't accept responsibility. You're ultimately held accountable. Okay, number two, Okay, so there's number one, there are events I think I cannot control, but I really can, and that's you yourself. That's I don't have to respond. The truly great athletes of all time. Tell me about Jackie Robinson. What was he? What did he do? He's from Cairo. What did he do? First black person to play baseball. And who was his manager? I'm trying to remember. Who was his manager? Gosh, he's a great one. Because actually, he's the one who told him. They told him, they said, listen, if you're going to play and be the first black person to play baseball, you cannot respond. The fans spit on him. They booed him. They did all kinds. What else did they do to him?
Called him the N-word all the time.
The N-word. They threw stuff at him. He got death threats.
This is the movie Glory Road.
No, I hadn't. Is it about him?
No, it's a movie about the Texas A&M College basketball team. And the coach goes and recruits him. Like
yes, I have seen that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the star of that? I'm trying to remember. I loved it.
I don't know what the guy's name is.
It was really, I can see his face though. It was really good. It was really good. I remember that.
He plays on the guy from
Alabama. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I remember who you're talking about. I'm trying to remember what his name is. But anyway, that's a good example too of how they acted to him. Oh, the other one. Remember the Titans? Remember that?
Yeah.
Right? And so the reason they were able to be great was because they did not respond when others were unkind. Because Jackie Robinson took it, yes, it was wrong what happened to him. It was wrong. Did he have a right to yell back ugly things? And could he have done that? Could Jackie Robinson have done that? He could have done it, but he wouldn't have been able to stay and he wouldn't have been able to make a difference. So you are ultimately able, and if you want to be great, that's what you're going to do. Okay? And the last thing to remember is appropriate control gives me less stress. Now, men in particular, you know, there's this road rage problem. What is road rage?
Other
people. Yeah. One time we were making a right turn in Atlanta, and we did not, Kip didn't see that the left turn signal for the other direction had come on, because we honestly couldn't see it. And so Kip was going right, and another guy was coming on the left, and they almost hit each other, and Kip had to swerve. That guy, I am not kidding, was just yelling and cussing, and we had the kids in the car, just yelling and cussing. And he got over, and he got behind Kip, and he was grabbing something. He was just yelling at him, and pull over, and he was just screaming and hollering. And I was scared, and it looked like he was pulling something out of his glove. I mean, it scared me to death. And Kip was mad, too, because of how the guy was acting. And he knew that he had messed up on the turn a little bit because he honestly didn't see that. But Kip got mad too. And I'm like, whatever you do, pull over, get away from this guy because I swear he's going to kill you. And Kip's like, well, I'll stand up to him. But Kip did the right thing and he pulled over and he got out of the way. Is there such a thing as a win-win in that situation? Huh? Would Kip win anything by going and fighting with that guy and winning the fight? What would Kip win? Anything?
Respect.
Yeah. From who? He doesn't know the guy.
She'd be happy about herself.
Yeah, but what if he stopped and he went and fought that guy? What would that do? He's in Atlanta, and he probably has a gun, and Kip's got his family with him. Why would he risk having his head blown off and his family left without a father and a husband, you know? So road rage is such a huge issue, and it happens all the time. And I've had it happen at me, and that's my scariest experience. But you don't have to respond to road rage. And if you move to Atlanta, you will see has anybody ever seen road rage like that? And what happened? Is it something you can tell? I don't want you to tell it if you can't tell it.
Okay, well, we were coming back from our cow sale, and this guy in this big truck was trying to pass us on the hill. And when we were coming over the first hill, we saw it was a car coming, so when he tried to pass, we got in front of him, so we let him pass, so we knew he was going to run into the car. So we got another lane, and we let him pass. And we figured he would be mad after he saw the car pass. We come up and tried to hit the back of Granddaddy's car. And he was like throwing bottles and crap out of the window.
Oh my gosh. And wasn't it scary?
No.
You didn't think it was scary?
I was laughing.
That kind of thing scares me. It really does. Because there's so many people out there who are just, they're so mad with their lives and they're so unhappy that they'll just act this way. Okay. Here's where we are on our time.
Oh, we're still good.
Okay, let's review this before we go on to the next thing, the four quadrants of living. Let's review for just a minute. On understanding event control, what is the control continuum? Is there anybody who can come up and explain this? What is this? What does this mean? Who can explain it? I'm going to pick somebody. If they don't, you can sit there. You don't have to come up. Who would like to explain it? What does it mean? You have any notes? What does this mean? The control continuum, this thing right here. This right here. What does this mean? There are things you can
control.
Yeah. And there's a lot, most of it falls in between here where you have a little bit of control and then you have a little bit of not control. Okay? And your job is to worry about what you control, which is what? There's only one thing you control in this world. Yourself. And not to worry about what? The stuff you cannot control. No use getting upset about the weather because you wanted to go hunting. You're just going to ruin your day and you're not going to change the weather. Right? Control what you can control, which is yourself. And live your life trying to have the best days you can. Okay? Natural law number one. Well, we've already discovered that. Discussed that. What is natural law number one? You can tell me. I don't have it up on my screen. It's on your notes. Okay, that's right. And what is a natural law?
A fundamental principle which governs the cause and effect.
Yes. It's a rule. It is something that happens. Does it matter what you believe, whether you believe that writing stuff down helps or not? Does it matter if you believe it or not, though? No, the truth is the truth, and if you're going to become educated, you try to find out what the truth is. And, you know, there's things that are debatable, and some people would tell you, oh, you can learn to remember everything, and there are people who have trained their memories to be able to remember everything, but they did that on purpose. Okay, what's natural law number two, and what does it mean? What does that mean? Alyssa, what do you think that means? What do you think it means, Kendall?
To know why you do things.
Uh-huh. And then when you know why you do things, it becomes easier to do what? To control it, right? To take charge of it. If you have a bad habit and you say, I want you to actually think for just a moment. Think about the one thing that drives you crazy about yourself that you thought about yesterday when we closed your eyes and thought about it. I want you to think for just a moment. You don't have to write. You don't have to type. I just want you to think. Not surf, think. Think about that one thing and think about why you think you do it. Okay, just think about it. I'll give you just a minute to think. If you want to close your eyes, you can. But just think about, why do I do that? One thing, whatever it is. Procrastinate, me, like me, overeat. Think about the one thing that you do that drives you crazy about yourself and why you think you do that. Okay? Does everybody kind of have that? Nod your head if you kind of have it and you think you know why you do that. Nod your head. Christopher, you think you know why you do whatever your bad habit is? Okay? Guys in the back? Yeah? Okay. I want you to think about one thing you could do instead. Do you have something you could do instead? Like for me, when I have a bad day,
exercise instead of overeating, which actually does help. It's proven to help, and it does help. Can you think about one thing that you could do instead that would help it? If it's procrastination, it might not be to start whatever it is. It might be to visualize starting it. I'm giving you a second to think. What's one thing you could do instead that would be a good response to that, whatever it is? Huh?
Most of the time I just go like sitting with my deer field.
When you're having a bad day, you mean? Oh, with your problem? Whatever your bad habit is? Okay. Okay. Now, if you want to make a note to yourself about this, if you're afraid you'll forget it, you're welcome to go into your thing you passed for protected yesterday, but otherwise, most of you kind of got it in your mind. But we're going to talk about how to live life without stressing out, which is a great thing. And y'all, this has helped me so much. Okay. One thing I want to say before this, that Ken Blanchard said people who feel good about themselves produce good results. And there is a book called What You Say to Yourself When You Talk to Yourself, something like that. And they found that most people say extremely unkind things to themselves. If somebody said to you what you say to yourself, you'd slap them. Right? Like me, okay? A lot of us carry with us the images we had of us in middle school. And so when I look at myself in the mirror, I have to be nice to myself because I'll say things like, and I try not to, and it's always hard when I talk about it because then I start doing it again. You're ugly. You look old today. Look at all those wrinkles. You sure are fat. You don't have any cute clothes. You don't have anything nice to wear. Look at those shoes. They have scuffs on them. You're wearing your grandma's shoes, which I am today. It's something she handed down to me. You just look terrible today. And you say these things to yourself. Girls do it a lot, right? But you have to be very careful what you say to yourself because your mind tries to do what you tell yourself. And we're going to talk more about that later. But you have to really guard your thoughts. I think that's why Jesus was so wise when he talks about guarding our hearts and guarding our thoughts. Because that's where things start. And if you want to improve your self-image, I have always had to struggle with my self-image because of my struggles in middle school. And I know tons of people. I mean, there have been people who've won Miss USA who struggle with self-esteem because kids made fun of them in middle school like I have. And that's something that you see. You have to really work with what you speak to yourself because you know what? God made you just like he wants you. And when you insult yourself, you insult him. He made me, and I am okay with that. And I have to love myself like I am. And I do. And when I say unkind things about myself, I bring myself down. So if you feel good about yourself, you're going to do well. I have known people who felt bad about themselves and they felt like they were worthless because somewhere along the line somebody, usually a parent, said you are stupid or you are worthless. And you know what? I don't care if you had a parent who told you you're dumb or you're stupid or you'll just have to be cute because you sure aren't smart. You know, whatever they've told you, you can choose and say that's not me. You know that choir director that said I couldn't sing and put me on the back row and told me not to move? I have an excuse not to sing. I could have, all the rest of my life, when they asked me to sing, I could have said, nope, I can't sing. When I was in sixth grade, they put me on the back row and told me not to sing anymore. I can't sing. I could have done that, right? I had an excuse. This is about what I want to do, not about what somebody else told me. And he had tons of musical training, too, right? He should know whether I was a good singer, right? But he didn't. He was wrong. And there's tons of people in this world that would love to steal your dreams and that are wrong. And people who feel good, did I have to feel good about myself to be able to get up in front of a crowd and sing when I had been told to shut my trap because I was so bad? did I have to feel good about myself? Right? I did, didn't I? To get up in front of in a beauty pageant and be so vulnerable. That's why it's hard to be in a beauty pageant, because you feel vulnerable. Does that, how many of y'all were in the pageant this year? Anybody in here?
Nobody.
Dustin.
It's in the pageant.
You were an escort, though, weren't you? Okay. We don't want to do it because we feel vulnerable. You have to feel good about yourself to be able to do it and say, you know what? I am me. I want to do it because I want to do it. I didn't start doing it until my junior year. It took me that long. I decided in middle school I wanted to do beauty pageants, but I didn't get up the guts till my junior year. And so I started doing it then. And I started doing beauty pageants. Because back then you had to be sponsored by a club. And I told you about how my peers were. It was hard for me to get sponsored. I had to beg to get in the beauty pageant, so it was even tougher than then. Okay, so people who feel good about themselves produce good results. And let's talk about the four quadrants of living. And this comes from the Seven Habits of Highly Effective Living. And there's a great book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Teens. And it's by the guy's son who wrote the first book. It's by, his last name is Covey, and I can't remember his first name. But y'all, if you're looking at a book to help you with all this kind of stuff that I'm talking about, get that book. It is a great book. And I've been reading motivational books since I was in about sixth grade, because everybody in this world will try to pull you down. And every year I try to make sure I read at least two. And I started that habit a long time ago. And this, if you want to start improving your life and being a better person, that's the book to get. And you know what? Y'all are going to end up having to pick a book for me to read anyway. So you might want to put that as yours, because you're going to read one for me and do a project. Okay, these are the four quadrants of living. Okay? Every single thing in your life is either urgent or not urgent, right? What's urgent mean? Huh?
Important.
Not important. What does urgent mean?
Urgent.
You gotta do it right now. Urgent can be important, but it may not be. An example, you're sitting at your computer working on a term paper and you get an IM up on your screen that so-and-so wants to chat. Is that urgent? If you let it be, it is. They're online right now. They want to talk right now. Okay? So urgent has to do with time right now. Not urgent means what? I don't have to do what? I don't have to do it right now.
Can I have your attention, please? All upcoming football players, upcoming 7th grade through upcoming seniors, please meet in the commons area when the bell rings for break for a very short meeting. Also, great attention today will be Joseph Dixon.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So we have right now and not right now. And we'll pick up on this on Monday. What you're going to be doing next week, you need to be thinking about, and some of you may want to take some time when you're by yourself, you are going to be setting your goals, at least a couple goals, over the next couple years, okay? So you'll set goals for this year, you'll set goals for your high school career, and you'll set your goals for after. And so you need to start thinking about it. What's one of the best things to do as you start thinking about your goals and what you want to do? Write them down and talk to who? Talk to your parents and talk to other people and get their advice. Get their advice. So it's a good time, you know, when you're in the car, you're going somewhere, you're going to all these basketball games or whatever, to start talking about it and thinking about it. Okay? Make sure you bring your lists on Monday. And this was Computer Fundamentals. What's the date today? January 5th. 2007. Is it 2007?
Yeah,
2007. Yeah.